You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us here today. We're tuning into God's frequency now. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. Let's go to where he speaks. I thank you guys and gals for taking 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join me. Now, we're in the book of Acts here. This is where we're at here at church. This is the sermon I just preached the other day. It's entitled Seven Principles of Evangelism. And we're looking at Philip the Evangelist. We're up to the eighth chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to follow Philip's method for preaching Christ to this Ethiopian eunuch who was riding a chariot, whom the Holy Spirit sent Philip to go and minister to him. But there's a pattern here that we can study and learn from, and that's where we're going to be. Seven Principles of Evangelism, Acts chapter 8. This will play tomorrow as well, starting a new study here Wednesday night. Start in the book of Titus, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. You are invited. We would love to see you. Okay, here today now, Seven Principles of Evangelism. For more on this ministry, islandcommunitychurch.net is our website. The sermons are uploaded on the Island Community Church YouTube page. You can read more about us, read our statement of faith on our website, watch some of the sermons here on YouTube. And I'm grateful for you guys listening in here on this radio broadcast. WMIE at 7:30 a.m., 5:30 in the afternoon rebroadcast, and WWBC at 6:30 a.m. I thank you guys for spending 30 minutes here with me. Now let's get into the Word. Let's go and follow Philip the Evangelist. Now we're up to chapter 8 in our study here in the book of Acts. We left off last week, if everyone remembers, looking at a few things. Two things. Number one, once people were delivered of demons, sometimes, and I stress sometimes, they were cured of their physical ailments as well. Now, sometimes, demons are the reason that people are sick. Sometimes. Read it in your Bible. Also, using the Samaritans as a template for believing that some Christians today don't possess the Holy Spirit is wrong, and it's faulty theology. All Christians have the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If anyone does not have the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to him. All Christians have the Holy Spirit. No Christian is better than you. So those are some things we looked at last week. Now today I want to look at evangelism. So let's call this sermon Seven Principles of Evangelism, the Philip approach. Philip the Evangelist, that is. We looked at him very briefly last Sunday. I once saw these 7 points we're going to look at here today in a daily devotional from Chuck Swindoll. That's where I got this idea from. So I love Chuck. He's such an excellent Bible teacher. Here's how he put it. He says, make no mistake, witnessing takes a big dose of courage. It also takes a proven method. People have employed various methods to communicate the gospel of Christ to the lost. Some of the approaches appear to be successful and effective on the surface, but underneath they leave much to be desired. He continues, to take the sharpshooter approach, for example. The more scalps, the better. This numerical method is decision-centered, and little, if any, effort is directed toward follow-up or discipleship or cultivating a relationship with someone. Such anxious hunters are not difficult to identify. They can usually be overheard counting out loud the scalps on their belt, or can be seen shooting their flaming arrows in every wagon train that they spot. Tact is not their long suit. That's a very popular method here today as well. Then there's the Harvard approach. Now Chuck Swindoll continues. Then there's the Harvard approach. That's quite different. Let's all discuss the world religion, the world's religions. This reason-centered approach attracts both genuine and pseudo-intellectuals. And while it is educational and occasionally quite stimulating, it suffers from one mild drawback. No one ever gets saved. Now, to them, being sophisticated is more important than telling the truth about sin or heaven or hell. Discussion is in, while decisions are out. Now, perhaps the most popular method is the mute approach. That's just, I'm just the silent witness for Jesus. The best thing you can say about this method is that no one is ever offended. Chuck says, this Secret Service saint who settles for this approach, it could be labeled as an undercover Christian. Reminds me of an old story Adrian Rogers used to say. He tells the story of a little boy who was asked by a friend one day what kind of dog he had. And the boy, owning a little mutt, proudly replies, "My dog's a police dog." And the friend, looking at the scruffy little mutt, said, "That doesn't look like a police dog to me," to which the boy answered and said, "He's in the Secret Service." Now, many Christians are like that dog in the Secret Service, meaning they're undercover and invisible or not bold about their faith, rather than being openly devoted servants of God. So this morning, I want to look at a proven method of evangelism, the Philip approach. You've got a handout here. It's got 7 blanks on it. I hope everyone's got a pen. If you like to write, I encourage you to write. Our text this morning is Acts chapter 8, starting where we left off last week. Now let's pick it up in chapter 8 and starting in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. So he arose and went. All right, now first of all, the quotation marks around the Holy Spirit speaking. Now verse 29 is going to tell us this is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you read the angel of the Lord, many times it's referring to God. So don't get confused. But notice the quotation marks around the Holy Spirit speaking. He speaks. He is God. He's the third person of the Holy Trinity. That Peter told us 3 weeks ago, lying to the Holy Spirit was lying to God, if you guys remember. Now again, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. So he arose and went. Now as we look at this, notice how obedient that Philip is. He had no idea of what kind of day he was going to have. Neither was this a chance meeting on his day calendar. He made himself available. And that's what we need to do as well. Let's examine this Philip approach of evangelism. Let's put these 7 points into practice in our own lives. Sound good, right? Then someday God can call us too and send us to someone who needs to hear the message that his son is coming back soon. Certainly we need to be professional Christians, right? You guys know how I feel about that. with all the professional, everything's out here, lets us be professional Christians that know the Word of God, that know where to go. When someone asks you, why do you believe? We need to know how to answer that question. Don't give them my business card. Someday God can call us too and send us to someone that needs to hear the message. His Son is returning soon. And this is always my prayer, that all of you would be on God's own personal Rolodex. Names and people he can count on to help people along spiritually. I mean, you could apply this method as well to other things, not just evangelism. Going through this list again, it's dawned on me last night. You could use this list to help many people. Help them with your experiences that you have acquired through the years. Maybe you are a recovering alcoholic or a recovering addict. This very same approach will help you in these areas as well, not just evangelism. So keep that in mind as we move forward. This is not just evangelism. This will help you anytime God puts someone on your heart for you to go and talk to someone. So, first off, blank number one, he was available. Reminds me of Isaiah the prophet when God was looking for some volunteers. And Isaiah the prophet, he overheard the call. Isaiah wasn't called, he overheard it. He overheard a call. Who then stepped up and declared and said, here am I, send me. Isaiah said, I'll go, Lord. I'll go. Sign me up. I'd love to make a difference out here in this evil world today. I'm available, Lord. And all he did was he overheard the call. He didn't call him. He overheard the call. And he said, yes, count me in. Man, oh man, if we only knew how close we were to Jesus' return, there'd be a whole lot more volunteers out here today. Sign me up. Question, are you available to God for he himself to use as he chooses? Are you available? You don't have to be Moses. You don't have to be Moses. You've got to be available. Let him do all the work. All you have to do is be available. God's looking for a few good men. Reminds me of that old Uncle Sam poster, right, Bill? I want you. But he's not going to force you. God's looking for a few good women. God's looking for a few sold-out children in this world. Believers. Believers who want their friends to have the peace and joy that you've got now. What's that worth to you? So I ask the question, are you available or not? Are you available? Verse 27 again. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading from Isaiah the prophet. Then the Lord said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So, number two on this list, he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. The Bible declares, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. All you've got to do is make yourself available. Let God do the rest. So he was led by the Spirit. Philip was led by the Spirit. He sensed that God was clearly opening the door. Not only did he sense it, but he heard it. You know, I am envious sometimes of Philip. You know, sometimes I think to myself, you know, that's just not fair. You know, should I do this or should I do that? Yes, my son. No, my son. Go here. No, don't go there. Should I do this? I sure wished he talked to me that way. How about you guys? And as we see, Philip cooperated, leading us to number three on this list. He was obedient. he was obedient. Remember, you can use this template to minister to anybody. Available, led by the Holy Spirit, and now you just got to be obedient. Now, when Jonah the prophet was led by the Spirit to go somewhere, he went in the opposite direction. And he disobeyed the voice of God deliberately. Philip, on the other hand, cooperated. And he was obedient. Verse 30. So, look at how obedient he was. So Philip ran to him. And he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you were reading?" You know, let me say too, as an aside, notice how God is already dealing with that person that he's placed on your heart, or that he has led you to go and talk to. When God puts it on your heart or instructs you to go to talk to someone, know that he is already working on that person behind the scenes. You just don't know it yet. When God puts it on your heart to talk to someone, he's already dealing with that person. You are just the cherry on top here. So he was obedient. Look, God wants you to be his hands and feet out here in the world today. He wants to use you, and he's looking for a few good men and a few good women and a few good children. And don't think he can't use children, because he certainly does. He could probably use children more than he can adults, because they'll go out there with no net. They don't care. That's why Jesus said, unless you are converted and become like one of them, then we get in. What do we say to them? Oh, no, 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 no. You can't do that. So, point number three, he's obedient. The next thing is blank number four. He used the proper opening. He used the proper opening. Philip didn't barge in there and start preaching. Neither did he corner this eunuch with a loaded question. So let me say, he would have had the wrong opening if he would have decided in advance what he was going to say. He used the proper opening. Reminds me of the Apostle Paul in Athens. We read, and I think it's Acts 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, Mars Hill, one of the most famous sermons in all the world. He said, "Men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you're very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." You see, at just the right time, God will give you the right thing to share. Paul didn't know what he was going to say until he got there. And due time, God will give you the right thing to say as well. Let him lead you every step of the way, even if it's not even evangelism. If God's put it on your heart to go and minister to someone else, follow this same formula here. Paul could not have known the proper opening if he had decided before he got there what he was going to say. Neither could Philip. But here was his proper opening, which he would not have known had he decided in advance. All right, verse 30. It says, "So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Do you understand what you were reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' So he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture where he read was this." Now, isn't this funny? Well, I mean, what a coincidence. What are the odds of this? That he shows up, he doesn't know what he's going to say, and the place is going to hear a complete stranger is the greatest verses ever speaking about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. A coincidence? Not on your Nelly. Is that a coincidence? Verse 32, "The place in the scripture where he read was this. 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? His life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or some other man? Now, if this was me, I would have secretly said to myself, pinch me, Lord. I must be dreaming. What are the odds of that? Thank God he didn't have a whole, what would Shakespeare call it, soliloquy. Some 30-page diatribe already filled out before he got there. All he had to do was show up and listen. Volunteer. I'm available. I'll go. All right, Holy Spirit, I'm available. Holy Spirit shows where you go. You're led by the Spirit, and now you listen to what the man's going to say. Who's he talking about? Himself or some other man, he says. Then Philip opened his mouth. I mean, how easy was that? Anyone could have answered that, right? And if not, if you couldn't have answered that, we'll work on that. That's all. If you're saying to yourself, well, I didn't know, well, we'll work on that, right? I mean, that's the answer. If you don't know it, we work on it. And then you will know it. This is a win-win. You either win or you win. There's no losing in the school of God. If you don't know it, we will know it. And then you'll know the answer to this. You know it now. I mean, this whole church knows now if someone ever asks you, have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Everyone in here knows how to answer that question. You're not going to say, dude, what's the Holy Spirit? No one's going to. No, that requires this one. Anyone who says that, I'm going to crown you if you say that. Who is the Holy Spirit? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to him. So that was point number 4. He used the proper opening. Point number 5, use tact. T-A-C-T. Tact. I remember once at a car dealership I was at in West Palm Beach, there was this crazy, long-haired, wild-eyed fruitcake who was telling people about Jesus. And he had this weird look. He had like Marty Feldman eyes. One went that way and one went the other. Yelling at people. Philip used tact. We read about people like that when we get to chapter 16. The Apostle Paul's going to run into someone with some googly-eyed woman who was saying to people, listen to them, they're telling you about Jesus. And that annoyed Paul. And he cast the demon out of a woman who was telling people about Jesus. Not everyone who tells you about Jesus is legit, you see. Use tact. Even though he had his foot in the door with the chariot driver, he remained courteous, gracious, and sensitive to him, knowing the importance of the subject matter. Philip didn't say to him, you filthy swine. Quit sinning, scallywag. Or I'll keelhaul you. Reminds me of another great verse, 2 Timothy 2:24. Paul says this, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. All right, so back to Philip in our list. That's number 5, use tact. Use tact. Number 6, he was specific. He was specific. No vain dialogue about Jesus. He spoke about Jesus, who was the only way to eternal life. He was specific. Like when the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is being specific. Specific like, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. John 10:9. That's specific. Specific, like when Peter says 3 weeks earlier than this on the day of Pentecost, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Be specific. Jesus Christ is the only way. Not what works for you or what work for me. The only thing that works is faith in the Son of God. But be specific. Verse 35. So then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, or behold, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Well, I wonder what Philip told him for him to say that. I would say easy. Repent and believe the gospel and get baptized, right? Why would some stranger say that to him? Here they are riding along. Look, there's one. That word edu means behold. Check that out, Philip. There's some water right there. How fortuitous. There's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Verse 37, then Philip said, all right, he's answering the question, why can't I be baptized? And he says, if you believe, if you put in 30% of all that you make into this offering plate, if you sign over your house to us, I know a church down in West Palm Beach that forces its members to sign their paychecks over to the church. And then the church takes out their 10% and gives everyone else whatever is left. Why can't I be? What's preventing me from being baptized? He says, if you believe with all your heart, then you may. I would say, if you don't, then don't. Matter of fact, you shouldn't get baptized at all. If you don't believe, don't waste your time. We've just looked at what happened before for lying to the Holy Spirit, remember? Because when you get baptized in here, I'm going to ask you if you believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't do that if you don't believe that. We saw just a week or two ago, this Simon Magus did that. How did that work out for him? Peter said, let your money perish with you. So he answered, he said, I believe, this is verse 37. It's not in any other Bible other than the King James and the New King James. Acts 8:37 is not in any other Bible in this world except for the King James and the New King James. You'll notice if you have another Bible, it skips right to verse 38, goes from 36 to 38. So he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that funny how that verse has gone out of all the new Bibles?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.